Fallout Equestria the Chrysalis, Chapter 22, Part 5. Dusty took a deep breath, then called out to Emerald,
"Suppressing fire!"
Emerald had propped herself up enough to see out of the window, and the gem of her rifle flashed as thin lines of light snapped into the air, sending out small clouds of cinders from the distant house. Dusty popped off several rounds and then went up and over the windowsill, galloping away. My heart hammered with a fresh surge of adrenaline as I leapt after him, leaving the relative safety of the building behind. We galloped across the street, my lungs already protesting at the dust-choked air. We passed the remains of the Mariner heavy raider-styled armor and moved to the wall of the saloon. Dusty led us down along the line of buildings, most of which were merely collapsed ruins. Rather than focusing on the house ahead of us, his attention was focused to our left, on the buildings that we were passing. The ruins seemed to offer few places to hide, but he wasn't taking chances. I mimicked him, looking for additional threats. When the snaps of Emerald's magic energy rifle fell silent, Dusty dropped down to a trot, firing off a couple of rounds towards the house. I slowed and did the same. I was sure I had no chance of hitting anything like that between the trotting and my panting, I just wanted to keep that pony's head down. A thin line of light flashed between the two buildings, and Dusty broke into a gallop once more. I followed, becoming increasingly aware of the weight of my equipment bouncing and jostling around me. My leg was aching again despite the magic I'd spent in subtly altering and reinforcing the bone and muscles there. We hooked around to the side of the house, closing the final gap from the side where the upstairs window couldn't see us. I nearly collapsed when we halted beside the house. I struggled to control my breathing. Dusty merely looked a little winded, his chest steadily expanding and contracting as he kept his rifle leveled, unwavering at the corner before us. He gave me about 10 seconds before stepping back to crouch beside me. He lifted a forehoof to hold his rifle in place as he released the bit, and quietly spoke to me.
"Load a fresh mag. When we go in, I want you to stay right on my tail. Just don't shoot me in the flank. Got it?"
"Yeah,"
I said in what I hoped didn't sound too much like a gasp. I swapped the magazine in my weapon with one from my pouch, which had grown considerably lighter than it had been just a few short minutes earlier. Dusty reloaded as well, his motions slow and deliberate. He gave me a few more seconds, then he rose up and prowled forward like a predator, his body staying perfectly level as he moved. I followed. The snaps of Emerald's rifle fell silent by the time that we rounded the corner of the house. Dusty slowed as he approached a window, stepping up close to it, his rifle held low. Then he surged forward, his rifle coming up to point inside. He moved to the side, sweeping his view around, then moved past it, his rifle pointing towards a door that we were approaching. The whole way, I kept glancing down at the ground. I was certain that at any moment, we would find another mine. Inside the house, I could hear Stallion's voice, muffled through the walls, but fast and urgent. When we reached the door, Dusty paused, then surged forward again, his gun tracking the inside of the house as he moved from one side of the door to the other. The muzzle swept over everywhere he looked, including, and I was thankful to see the ground. Satisfied that we weren't walking straight into a mine, he moved quickly and smoothly through the door. I followed right on his tail, rather less smoothly. The stairs up were just inside the door, and Dusty led the way up, his rifle focused on the doorway at their top. The voice was coming from upstairs, and was much clearer.
"Fucking dumbass, they killed Chatter!"
There was a pause as Dusty continued up, halting just below the level of the upper floor.
"Cause she's got a fucking army with her, that's why! One of them's got power armor or some shit, but we ain't got nothing to deal with fucking power armor!"
Dusty glanced at me as I came to a halt beside him, my rifle leveled at the doorway. He gave a quick nod and dipped his head down to one of the pouches on his barding.
"Oh yeah, no shit!"
the voice angrily shouted.
"I shot her in the head! It didn't do a goddess fucking thing except piss them all off! And they're turning this building into fucking Swiss cheese! Yes, the one with fucking holes, you retarded shit for brains!"
Dusty's head rose up, a grenade clutched in his teeth. He gripped it with his hooves, looking to the doorway and pulled the pin. I stared at it with mounting tension as he just held onto it. I wanted him to throw it, I willed him to throw it for all the good that it did.
"Ramen shit!"
the stallion in the next room shouted. His was still the only voice that we heard.
"What kind of shopkeeper runs around with a small army and a fucking steel ranger?"
Dusty's ears pinned back, and he swung his hoof around, arcing the grenade through the door.
"Will you fucking tell Boomer if that she wants that green bitch dead, she needs to get the whole fucking gang and every fucking bomb that we got before they kill everyone. Oh, fuck."
The building shook with the explosion, pounding at my head and chest and sending a cascade of dust and grit falling over us. I realized Dusty was already moving and I scrambled after him. I passed through the doorway just in time to see Dusty put two rounds into the sprawled and dust-caked raider lying on the floor. The clack of his rifle echoed sharply in the small space, even over the sharp hum in my ears. The raider didn't even twitch, and Dusty was already moving past him into another doorway. We swept through the room without pause, then another before returning to the first.
"We're clear up here,"
Dusty said, returning to the downed raider. The floorboards just a couple of feet away were shattered. The grenade had punched a small hole down to the floor below and tore up everything around it. Raider included. The Raider himself was clad in heavy metal armor that was wrapped in ragged bits of cloth, and sporting a good number of pouches. He was missing most of his face thanks to the bullets Dusty had put into his skull, but I could see goggles and a face wrap tangled up in the remains. A banged up bolt-action rifle lay beside him.
"Watch the stairs,"
Dusty said as he stepped over to the Raider, staring down at him. I turned my attention back the way we came, pulling the stock of my rifle in tight again. Several seconds passed before Dusty suddenly spoke.
"There you are."
He dipped down, retrieving something, though I kept my attention focused on the stairs. In the corner of my vision, I saw him fiddling with whatever it was that he found. That lasted for several seconds before he grumbled.
"Damn it."
He shoved the object into a pouch, then spoke up.
"Let's get back to the others."
He led us down the stairs and out, heading across the open field at a steady trot. As we were returning, I could see Sickle had made it back to our building, though she now lay on her side. Starlight was at her side and looked to be speaking to her, though Sickle showed no sign of replying. As we drew nearer, I saw her reach out to shake Sickle's shoulders, or at least try to. Still, no response. Emerald was staring down at the healing potion that she held in her hooves, her expression sad. After several seconds, she caught Starlight's attention and held out the bottle. Starlight took it and managed to unlatch Sickle's muzzle, shoving the bottle into her mouth. I was climbing in through the window after Dusty when Sickle groaned, rolling onto her back. Emerald retrieved some of the magic-laced bandages and offered them to Starlight, who grabbed them in her magic and hurried to Sickle's rear.
"You're still bleeding,"
Starlight noted as she went to work. Given the amount of blood coating her belly, legs, and groin, and the amount pulled onto the floor, I had to wonder how much she had left to lose. Sickle grunted, her head rolling drowsily to the side. Her words were slow and slurred.
"Yeah, had a mine go off under my ass. Cheap fucking trick."
Dusty approached, quickly appraising the scene before stepping in.
"Let me handle that,"
he said, stepping in to take one of the bandages.
"You're the salvage expert, right? Think you can get this thing working?"
He'd fished out the object that he had retrieved from the sniper raider, and I immediately recognized it. Starlight took it in her magic, peering at it.
"A broadcaster? With what, they wired a spark battery directly into it? What the hell did they do to this thing?"
"I don't know,"
Dusty said as he pressed the bandages into place. Sickle's bare groin and rear were a mess of gashes, and while the healing potion had stopped most of the bleeding, some of the larger cuts were still leaking.
"Just see if you can get it working. The raider who had it was talking to some pony. I want to listen in if they say anything else."
"Oh, good idea,"
Starlight said, sitting down and pulling out tools.
"I'll see what I can do."
Dusty packed the magical bandages over the worst wounds, then used some mundane bandages to hold them in place. As he was tying the first one off, he noticed my attention.
"Eyes out, Whisper. You're on our lookout right now."
I nodded and turned away, scanning over the view outside those windows while trying to ignore what was happening right behind me. My concern was alleviated to a degree when Sickle started to giggle and eventually mumbled,
"Oh, you're just looking for any excuse to get between my legs, ain't you, Dusty?"
"Just keep telling yourself that,"
Dusty quietly replied, earning a chuckle from both Sickle and Starlight. There was a rattle of armor as Sickle moved, then the sound of her armored saddlebags opening, followed by Dusty's sigh.
"Just don't overdo it."
"Yeah, yeah,"
Sickle weakly replied over the sound of pills rattling in their bottles. A few seconds later, there was a louder rattle as she struggled up to a sitting position. I saw Dusty was helping her.
"You okay?"
he asked, once she was upright. She groaned, leaning heavily on the windowsill.
The fucking painkiller says yes.
I glanced over as she chuckled faintly, looking over her lips. A few bits of former raider were still stuck to her snout. While she giggled quietly to herself, Dusty moved up to the window as well. With the second set of eyes, I took a momentary break to look back to Emerald. She was lying down with her foreleg held against her chest. Her brows were furrowed and she panted shallowly, though her expression softened when she saw me looking. She coughed, swallowed, and spoke up.
"I think I've changed my mind."
Dusty looked back.
"What's that?"
"About going with you,"
she said, then shook her head.
"I mean, to fight the raiders. I think this was enough fighting for me."
Dusty frowned, but nodded.
"I understand. Afraid you're kind of in the middle of it, though. If those two ponies are still alive, then we don't have time to head back and make another try at it."
"Oh, no, no,"
Emerald said, raising a hoof to wave off the comments, then wincing and tucking her leg back against her side.
"You all go on without me. Those ponies need you. I'll just wait behind for you."
"Can't do that," Dusty said. "We're in raider territory."
"I'll go back to the farm,"
she quickly said.
"I can wait for you there."
"You're not safe anywhere outside of town,"
Dusty said, then pointed to Starlight and the broadcaster that she was working on.
"Those raiders were gunning for you. Boomer wants you dead, and we're not leaving you unguarded."
Emerald's expression went slack.
"Me? But why?"
"Dunno," Dusty said. "I intend to find out, but until we deal with them, they're gonna be looking for you, and I don't intend to leave you unprotected."
"Amber,"
Emerald muttered.
She must have...
She shook her head.
It doesn't matter. Look, I'll go back to town and wait for you where we made the, seconds deal. If the raiders come looking for me, I'll run to the gates. I'll probably be safer there than I will getting into another fight. Chicken shit. Yeah, I am.
Emerald quickly replied.
And I'm not going, but all of you need to if you're going to save those ponies.
Her eyes glanced at me, and I realized that I was frowning as I tried to piece together her reasoning. I had one thing absolutely correct. This was not a sudden bout of cowardice. Dusty was shaking his head. You're talking about a day-long trip throughout Raider territory, even if you weren't cradling your leg like that.
This is nothing.
She said, giving a pained smile, and wiggled her pitbuck-clad hoof.
Just a bruised rib. I'll be fine as soon as I catch my breath.
Dusty's frown deepened as he mulled it over, and I looked to him. While I didn't like it, I was willing to go with whatever he decided. Emerald continued to hold her smile. Then she twitched, and Dusty's ears perked up, his brows furrowing as he looked at her.
I'm fine.
She reassured him. She swallowed, then twitched again, the faint full-body convulsion of some pony trying to hide a cough. Dusty stepped forward, his expression abruptly businesslike. What's wrong?
Nothing!
Emerald said, though I could hear the rising fear in her voice.
Just really sore from-
Her words were cut off as she clenched again, her body shaking several times before she couldn't hold it back anymore and let out a couple of coughs. They were short, weak, and wet. Dusty moved to her side, fixing her with a stare.
Okay, now it's in order. Tell me what's wrong.
Nothing!
She repeated, choking back a couple more coughs. Tears were forming in the corners of her eyes.
Just go!
Damn it.
Dusty muttered as he sat in front of her, his hooves reaching for her side.
We had a deal, Emerald.
No!
Emerald's legs kicked out, trying to swat his hooves away as he grabbed at the strap of her saddlebags.
I'll be fine, just go without me, stop!
I wavered. Hearing Emerald's pained cries of protests as she struggled wildly against Dusty's grip was deeply disconcerting, enough that I started to question what Dusty was doing. Then he froze for a moment, his eyes widening. He tugged at the strap across her belly, working past her struggles, and as she cried out, pulled away the saddlebag with its tiny, overlooked bullet hole. The underside was soaked with blood. Man, a thing to never do when you're wounded is to try and hide it. Doesn't matter if you're trying to look tough or maybe not concern your teammates, you gotta tell them. Anywho, let's get on to our truly tough donators. Top donators are 630, Peter Coulthard, J-Tin Man, Darkside, and Only One Thing, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, CrazyColor557, Stu Hex, Sword Brother and Mordred, Omicron Library, Will, Chris, Twinkie, Hadzaza, Dospo, and many more fantastic people. Thank you all so much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.